الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداع ولا لأبدية الانقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن محبته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الأصحاب سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الله يبغض القيل والقال وإضاعة المال وكثرة السؤال. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Congratulations to all of you, respectable brothers and sisters, as we are celebrating the birth anniversary of our eighth Imam, Imam Ali al-Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
His birth was actually on the 11th of Dhul-Qa'dah, according to the direct narration, although there is another sense of Dhul-Hijjah narrated, but that's not authentic. The authentic one is 11th of Dhul-Qa'dah in Medina, and his kunyat is Abu al-Hasan, and the famous alqab are three: al-Ridha and al-Sabir and al-Fadil. Sheikh Sadruq rahmatullah alayh has narrated that when Ibn Salih came to meet Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he asked him that you are the Mahsoom Imam, so let us know something which we can leave behind for our children, which we can teach to our children. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that these are my children, and this one, pointing towards Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, that this one is the elder among them. He is the one who has the ilm, the knowledge, and the hilm, and fahm, the understanding, and jud, the generosity, and ma'rifat, the in-depth recognition of Allah, and all what the people stand in need is with him. Everything that they have dispute about, he has the answer. And in him lies the morality, Islamic morals. And he is one of the doors, among the doors of paradise. And he has something in him which is even better than all this. And Ibn Salih asked that, what is in him which is better than all this? And Imam Sadiq Islam replied that Allah is going to give him a son. Allah is going to provide a son to him. A person will be born from him who is the Muheed Faryad Ras and the Dad Ras of the Ummah, the someone who rescues and helps the Ummah. And the blood of the, in other words, the blood of the nation, of the Ummah, will be protected. And the differences and disputes will be corrected because of that, because of him. And the differences will be things that will be in which people would differ, and what divides the people will be combined through him. He will attach the broken ones and provide rest to those who don't have the breath to hear, provide food to the hungry, provide security to the to those who will be in fear, in the state of fear. Allah will send down, rain will be sent down because of him, and people will be obedient towards him, and he would be the best of all the people, whether in his elderly age, or during his middle age, or in his young age, or in his childhood. He will gain the leadership role and become the head of his, head, and before he reaches the age of maturity. And his talk will be wisdom, and his silence will be knowledge. So, and he will explain what the people will be disputing about. This is the description that we learn in the statement of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when he is talking about the arrival of Imam Ridha alayhi salam before his birth, as narrated by Sheikh Saduq rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ridha alayhi salam is the only Imam who was directly appointed by the Tahut ruler of that time, Mamun al-Rashid, as the Waliyul Ahad, that means the heir to the throne. And but that incident unfortunately had been misinterpreted by some people in our communities, generally speaking, distorted to mix, to justify their own take and policy about that Islam has towards the Zalim government. Imam Ridha alayhi salam was appointed as the heir to the throne, but that appointment was forced upon him and imposed upon him forcibly without his consent. So any kind of wrong justifications that some people are trying to establish in the excuse of this behavior of the Imam is unfounded. I would like to mention 8 points to you which makes this claim very clear, that Imam Ridha alayhi salam never accepted, never consented, never liked this idea, and never accepted from his heart, and he was forced to be the Waliul Ahad of Mamun Rashid, because in Islam there is no room for any kind of support towards any zalim, and Imam did not provide any support, and this behavior is not counted to be the support. And this policy of the Imam cannot be interpreted by anybody in the history as a support towards any zalim, to justify our support towards the zalimin. First of all, we find that Imam alayhi salam, when he was, he himself has expressed in several of his ahadith that this walayatul ahd, this position has been forced and imposed upon him. We have abundant hadith from himself where he himself has expressed this reality. This is the first evidence to prove the point. The second evidence is that Imam alayhi salam, when he was departing his hometown of Medina, he established a Majlisul Aza, established a Majlisul Aza before his departure from the city of Medina, which is another sign that he did not agree what he was forced to do. Third of all, Imam alayhi salam, it's found in the authentic history also that even when he departed the city of Medina and he arrived at Makkah, Imam was crying at that occasion, he was crying also, which again shows the displeasure of the Imam over that situation. Fourth of all, Imam did wida with the Kaaba. That means he did his farewell with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means he did not agree and did not like to depart the Baytullah, the house of God, unless he was forced to depart. And that's the reason he knew that he is not going to come back and finally he will be poisoned. So he was doing the farewell from the Baytullah. It is mustahab in Islam when you go for for Hajj, for instance, we do the Tawaf al-Bida'ah. We go and, we just do the seven rotations of Al-Ka'bah and, of course, pray the two rakat of prayers at the Maqam of Ibrahim and just to say our farewell to the house of God. This is one of the ways of paying our respect to the house. Fifth of all, Imam, the history says that Imam did not accept this position unless Mamun al-Rashid forced him to death, that he will be killed, and he threatened the Imam to death, and that then was the time when Imam accepted it. So, which gives us a very clear idea that supporting the zalim is, there is no room in Islam, and also, we find that when Imam alayhi salam accepted, when he was forced to death and threatened to death and he accepted that, he also didn't accept it unconditionally, but he put a condition that I will not be part of any of the governmental affairs that you are doing. So, which again shows that Imam alayhi salam, which is actually the sixth evidence to remember, that Imam alayhi salam did not agree with what he was forced to do, and that's why he doesn't want to be part of anything that Mamun performed in his government. Any of his governmental ordinances or orders or commands or policies have nothing to do with the Imam. And seventh of all, we find in the occasion of Eid, when Mamun al-Rashid once asked Imam Rida alayhi salam to lead the Eid prayer, and Imam did not accept it unless he insisted. We all know that Eid prayers, like the Jumu'ah prayers, is a political issue of Islam. It's a political social issue of Islam. Somebody likes it or not, that's irrelevant. Are you silly that you allowed Imam Rida alayhi salam to lead the Eid prayers? If you allow him and this prayer happens the way Rasulullah used to do, then your government will be toppled. That's it. So if you want to topple your government, you want a coup d'etat taking place here, then you can allow him. Otherwise, you have to stop this from happening. And Mamun Rashid sent his message very quickly and asked Imam al-Walisam to go back to his place. Which again gives us the idea and the theme, not only that Salatul Eid is a political issue of Islam, whether we like it or not, it is a political issue of Islam. But in addition to that, it gives us an idea that Imam Rida alayhi salam, Mamun al-Rashid understood that Imam Rida does not agree with what he is doing in his government. And that's the reason he asked Imam Rida alayhi salam to go back to his home. Because if Imam Rida alayhi salam is agreeing with what Mamun al-Rashid is doing, there's no room, there's no use for Imam for Mamun al-Rashid to send him back to his house. So this is another evidence to understand that Imam Ridha alayhi salam did not agree with the policies of the government of Mamun Rashid and his policies. And this is what Mamun Rashid was afraid, that if he allows the Salatul Eid to happen, then Imam will talk against his government. There is a likelihood that Imam is going to talk, Ihtimal, to talk against his government and the issues related to his government, and this is going to threaten his government. So which proves that Imam is not part of anything that Mamun is doing, despite the fact that he enjoys the position of Waliul Ahd, but he has nothing to do with the government. And eighth evidence about the fact that Imam Ridha alayhi salam has nothing to do with the evil government of Mamun Rashid, despite the fact he was forced to accept the position of Waliul Ahd, the eighth evidence is that it is narrated in the authentic history that whenever Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to come back from the Salatul Jummah, he used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him death. Several times it has been narrated in the history that every time when Imam used to come back from Salatul Jummah, remember that Salatul Jummah in those days was not led by Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So it's led by the Tahut of those days. So whenever Imam used to come back from that gathering, Imam used to ask Allah to give him death. So this shows us the extent of pain, extent of disagreement and tension that Imam was undergoing constantly from the government of Mamun Rashid. So he's asking death from Allah every time he comes back from the trip. So these are the eight evidences that we should remember in our mind that there's no room in Islam to support any tahut, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam did not support any tahut. So let's not try to use the walayatul ahad of Imam Ridha alayhi salam to justify our wrong policy. This is how some people are doing, and actually I personally had a debate with some of the Shias, who were trying to bring this as an evidence. So, Imam alayhi salam was forced in the year 200 Hijrah by Mamun Rashid to migrate. He came to Makkah, and then Mamun Rashid's ordinance was that the sheep should be taken, better be taken in the night time. So most of his trip should be, you guys should try your best to make him travel in the night time. Because all those areas where Imam was supposed to be taken, his travel route was areas where there were followers of Ahlul Bayt. So Mamun Rashid did not want any revolt to happen if the people know that, the Abbasi, Banu Abbas, were using the name of Ahlul Bayt, that we want to take the revenge of Karbala. In the name of Ahlul Bayt, these governments have been fooling the masses because of their lack of political basirat and insight, which is even true today. So this is exactly what is backfiring us even today. So they were using this lack of basirat of the people back then, where they were fooling the masses in the name of Ahlul Bayt, in the name of taking revenge of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but still giving the hardest of the time to the Ahlul Bayt. So now he is trying to take Imam Ridha alayhi salam in the night time. And we find that Ibrahim ibn Abbas was one of those who was traveling in that travel, and he narrates huge narration about the details of the travel of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and he says that Imam Ridha alayhi salam was such that he always used to sit with his servants and eat along with him. Whenever the food was being put, that was the tradition of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, that he used to ask to bring a bowl, gather the best of the food first, and give it to the poorest miskin people first, and then he would start eating later on. And he used to complete one Quran in every 3 nights. And he said, I can finish Quran sooner than 3 days, but it's just that whenever I read an ayat, I think about the meanings of that ayat. So that's the reason why it takes 3 days to finish the Quran. Every 3 days of his life, he used to finish one Quran. And Ibrahim ibn Abbas says that after the initial hours of the night, I never saw the Imam sleeping. And in that, after he was done with his fajr prayers, he used to put his head in the sajda and used to continue in the sajda situation till the sunrise. That was everyday routine of the Imam. So remember, this is the time, this is on the Sa'atul Jannah. This is the time that belongs to the hours and time duration of paradise that we are supposed to keep in that time. And every Ibrahim ibn Abbas narrates that Imam alayhi salam was fasting every first Thursday of the month, and every last Thursday of the month, and every middle Wednesday of the month. Every month. That's the way he was, you know, first Thursday and last Thursday. And basically, our scholars have said that the Thursdays are important because our amal and actions are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Thursday. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always is supervising all the amal, you know, but that's the way the principles are, which are set by Allah himself. And Wednesday, our scholars say the reason behind Wednesday is that hellfire is created on Wednesday. So we extinguish the flames of hellfire by fasting on the middle Wednesday of every month. So first Thursday and last Thursday and the middle Wednesday of every month. And Imam Ruhu alayhi salam used to say that these three fastings are equal to Sawmud Dahan, fasting the whole life. If you fast for these 3 days in every month, it's just like you have fasted throughout your life. So he was very much generous towards the needy people. He never rejected anybody who demanded anything from him which he was able to do. He never rejected most of his sadaqah and charities. Ibrahim ibn Abbas says most of the sadaqah and charities that Imam gave were in the night time. In the night time, there are less people watching you. And when there are less people or nobody watching you, this is the time where the best of your ikhlas can be displayed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, if somebody claims that I have seen a man like Imam Ruhu alayhi salam, never accept his name, because there wasn't any person like him. And even Mamun Rashid, the history says, Mamun Rashid had said several times in his life, Ma a'rifu ahadan afdal min Ali ibn Musa and Ruhu alayhi salam. I did not find anybody superior than Imam Ali Ruhu alayhi salam. Mamun was the one who gathered 33,000 people. You must be recalling that story when he gathered 33,000 people after the shahadat of Imam Al-Tazim alayhi salam, when Mamun forced Imam Urwah to come, and he was forced all the way from Medina to the city of Marj, which is right now located in Turkmenistan, north of the holy city of Mashhad. That small town of Marv in Turkmenistan was the capital of Mamun's huge government. And we find that, Mamun Rashid gathered 33,000 people. And among them were lots of recognized, well-reputed scholars of the Islamic Ummah in those days from different sects of Islam, and asked them that I would like to appoint somebody as the heir to my throne in Waliul Ahad. And all of them agreed. They had ittifaq. All of them agreed with consensus about the fact that Imam Rida alayhi salam is the one who is the most suitable for you to appoint. So, we find that it's a lot of thawab in Islam to express haq and haqiqat, especially on the face of a zalim, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أَفْضَلَ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ إِمَامِ يَعْرِ. The most superior jihad is the kalima of haq that is said on the face of a zalim ruler. That's the most superior type of jihad. There isn't any jihad superior than that. Most superior jihad is that you say the word of truth on the face of a zalim ruler. So, and one of the most impressive ways of saying the truth is through poetry. Especially in those days. It's very effective even today, but it was much more effective in those days because that was almost the only one of the very few means available in those days to communicate in an effective way. Because whenever a poet used to come to recite his poetry, everybody used to gather. So this was a crowd attractor. This is something that attracts the crowd. People are ready to listen. People pay attention to you. They are ready to listen to what you are saying. So just like today we have, somebody who delivers a speech on an international forum, for instance, United Nations or any other international forum where the whole world community is ready to listen to you. If somebody delivers the word of Haq on a global forum where all the Fir'auns are listening to you and all the oppressors are listening to you, and you have a forum where you have such a huge global audience and you say the word of truth, it matters. It's a big deal. So in those days, poetry was one of the most influential tools where even the Pharaonic rulers of those days were there and they were listening to that, and it was considered to be a very effective tool. So we find when Ja'far al-Khuza'i rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote his faqida, his poetry, Mudaris al-Ayat, a very famous one, and he came to see Imam Rida alayhi salam, and he said that I made a commitment that I will not read this faqida of mine except I will read it first in front of you. He recited the whole faqida. Imam appreciated him, and Mamun Rashid got the news that Ja'far has arrived in the town, and he has brought some faqida. Imam alayhi salam actually stopped him not to read in front of anybody unless he permits. So Mamun asked Ja'far to read the same faqida, and he refused to Mamun. So Mamun understood what the matter. So he sent somebody to call Imam Rida alayhi salam and to ask his permission. And Imam Rida alayhi salam gave his permission, and after the permission, then Ja'far recited the faqida in front of Mamun Rashid. And so we find that Imam al-Islam gave him 100 dinars, surra, how they call it, one packet with 100 dinars, 100 dinars used to be gold coins, pure gold coins, 100 gold coins. He refused. He said, well, I didn't say, I swear to God, I have no intention to make any money out of this gold. I just said it for the sake of Allah. Imam said, keep that money, you are going to stand in need of that. And he said, well, what I need from you is to give me a piece of cloth that you have worn yourself, so I can use it as my coffin, and when I'm buried in the grave, I would put it on my, on my body. Imam gave him one of his abaq and said to him that, remember the value of this abaq because for 1,000 nights I have recited 1,000 rakats of prayers each night for 1,000 nights in this Sabah. And also Imam gave him one handkerchief, you know, to speak with him, and he said, this is going to protect you, you know, so basically, in other words, keep it safe with you so that you will be protected. So we find that the same 100 dinars basically went out of went out after reciting his qasida, and he was sent and he came back, headed back towards Iraq, his hometown. On his way, when he came out of the city, there were a bunch of dacoits who looted all his stuff and the stuff of all those people who were with him in all his friends and all his people was looted. So when they looted everything, David was of course very sad about missing that Aba, especially, which was a big tabarruk and huge gift from the Imam, and so he was very upset about that, not about the money of course, but about that Aba. And one of those dacoits came to him, and he recited one of the she'er of the same qasida of Dekhman in front of him himself. He said, do you know whose she'er is this? And this dacoit replied, well, this is the she'er of Dekhman. Do you know who is Dekhman? And yes, what is the poet of Ahlul Bayt and Salam, and this is a very nice qasida that he has written. Dekhman says, well, this is me, I am Dekhman. And finally, when he made sure by the signs and indications that he himself is Dekhman, well, this guy was also one of the Shia. So unfortunately, this person who was looting the whole stuff. So when he learned that this is Dekhman, he apologized to him and he gave back all the stuff that they have stolen from him, and stolen from his friends. So basically, when he arrived till the city of Qom, he's still traveling inside Iran, when he arrived till the city of Qom, Qom was a big time city where there were lots of followers of Ahlul Bayt. So they asked him to give this Aba, because the news was spread everywhere that Imam Riza alayhi salam has given this, you know, to Dekhman. So they were asking him to give that Aba. He said, no way, I cannot give that to you. They insisted and he refused and he left. But finally, there were some youth coming from the city, and they also forcibly took away the Aba from Dekhman. And they both came back and to the city of Qom and asked the elderly people there to, you know, to mediate and give it back to him. But they mediated, but those young people did not listen. So finally, Dekhman asked them to at least give one piece of that Aba to him. And they gave him one piece of that Aba with him, that he was very upset, and he carried that piece with him, that one piece only. And finally, when he reached Iraq, he found that, he found that the people in Iraq, when they learned about the 100 dinars that Imam Ridha alayhi salam gave him, they bought those dinars, those gold coins from Dekhman, and each dinar was purchased for 100 dirhams. So he made a lot of money out of those 100 dinars. And remember what Imam Ridha alayhi salam said to him, that you will stand in need of this money. And one of the members of his family narrated in the history, one of the members of his family had some problem with her eyes. And the doctor said, well, one of the eyes of her is gone. she's already blind from one eye. The other eye will try to treat her and try to provide some cure for the other eye. Well, the doctors left. What Deppel did, he put that cloth, that one piece of cloth that he was successful to gain from the Abba, which Mahmud Ali Sunday, he put that cloth over the eyes of her, tied the cloth over her eyes, and the history says that by the morning when she woke up, she had gained the vision for both the eyes correctly, better than before. So, we find when he was reading this Qasida, which is very, very long Qasida, certainly we cannot talk about all of that maybe some of the time. So, he said to Imam Rabb alayhi salam that, أَرَى سَيْئَهُمْ فِي سَيْرِهِمْ مُتَكَسِّمًا وَأَيْدِيَهُمْ مِنْ سَيْئِهِمْ فَفَرَاتِهِ. I see their money, their belongings being distributed to others. Their milkiyat and possession and their belongings and their wealth, I see their wealth being distributed among others. وَأَيْدِيَهُمْ مِنْ فَيْئِهِمْ فَفَرَاتِهِ. Whereas their own hands are empty from their own belongings. And this is certainly nothing but true. We find the hands of Ahlul Bayt have been emptied by the oppressor and by the jahl and silliness of the people who have been not performing their duties towards the Ahlul Bayt and thus ending up serving the oppressor. And then we find so Imam alayhi salam said to him that you said the truth. That means our hands are empty. Everything of ours has already been taken. And then Jabal said, إِذَا غُتِرُوا مَدُّوا إِلَىٰ وَاتِرِيهِمْ أَكُفَّنْ عَنِ الْأَوْتَارِ مُقَفَوَاتِ. That whenever they are subjected to zulm, when they are subjected to mistreatment, they are still ready to extend their hands, but they will not do any good against anybody. So Imam alayhi salam overturned his hand and said, "Fala wallahi muqabbalah." Pray to Allah that means the hands are like this. So then Jabal said, لَقَدْ خِفْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَيَّامَ سَعْيِهَا. I have been afraid in the life of this dunya and the days I was doing effort in this dunya. I have been afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ الْأَمْنَ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِي. I certainly want a peaceful and safe condition for me after my death. Imam alayhi salam replied that may Allah make you safe on the Yawm al-Qaza al-Akbar, on the day of the big scare. Day of judgment has several names, and one of those several is Yawm al-Qaza al-Akbar, the day of the big scare, where everybody will be scared. And we find that Jabal recited, was reading his ashar one by one for each of the imams, mentioning each and every imam one after the other, until finally he reached the father of Imam Rabb alayhi salam, Imam al-Qadhi alayhi salam, and he said, وَقَبْرٌ بِبَغْدَادٍ بِنَفْسٍ بَكِيَّةٍ. There is a grave in Baghdad for a pious man. فَغَمَّنَهَا الرَّحْمَانُ فِي الْغُرُفَاتِ. Someone whom Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has engulfed him in his mercy. And then finally, when he was done, we find Imam Rabb alayhi salam said that I'm going to add two sha'r here, which will make your qasida complete. And then Imam Ridha alayhi salam added these two sha'r at the end. وَقَبْرٌ بِتُوسٍ يَا لَهَا مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ أَضَحَّتْ عَلَى الْأَحْشَاءِ الْمُسْتَفَرَاتِ. That means there's a grave in Tus where, you know, with a lot of musibat and problems which has caused a lot of pain and suffering, in other words. So, Jabal Karbal, Yabna Rasulullah, I don't find any grave of you and the Bayt in the Tus area. And Imam said, well, soon I will be killed and there will be my grave and I will have a lot of huwar and followers coming to my grave, and whoever comes perform ziyarat of me at my grave, he will be on my daraja with me in my level in the paradise and will be forgiven. And the second of all, the second share which Imam alayhi salam himself added was إِلَى الْحَشْرِ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ قَائِمًا يُفَرِّجُ عَنَّ الْحَمَّ وَالْكُرُبَاتِ. That means this situation, in other words, is going to continue till the day of resurrection until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala
يُفَرِّجُ عَنَّ الْحَمَّ وَالْكُرُبَاتِ. He is going to remove the sorrow and the pain from us. So there are lots of pain for Ahlul Bayt, not just in their past history, but even today, which are continuing. Unless and until we are ready to oppose the status quo, unless and until we are ready to oppose the oppressions done towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, we can never be supporters of Imam Mahdi. So those of the people who are not ready to oppose the status quo, but they are just ready to, they want to live a life of convenience without making any opposition to what is going on, all the various oppositions and oppressions going on towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, if you're not ready to oppose that status quo, Imam alayhi salam is talking about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that the pain, in other words, the pain of Ahlul Bayt is going to continue till Imam Mahdi rises. And he's going to remove the sorrow from us. So there's a lot of sorrow and pain continuing for Ahlul Bayt, which we are not opposing that those people who are causing that pain for Ahlul Bayt. So, the hadith which I recited before I end my speech, the time is almost over. The hadith which I recited, like I always try to do, at least we learn one hadith from the Imam about whom we celebrate or we are talking about. This is the hadith from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, narrated by Muhaddith Qumni, rahmatullah alayhi, in Muntaha al-Kamal, where he says that Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, Allah yughdhibu al-qida wal-qal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes al-qida wal-qal, qida wal-qal, pate banana. Just talking. Doing nothing. وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and tasting the money. There's a very limited piece of pie. The world doesn't have unlimited resources. Anybody who has more than his necessity of life is liable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he or she is behaving towards the wealth. Because the wealth we have is the amanat of Allah, it does not belong to us. It's the munafiq way of thinking, it's the hypocritical way of thinking if somebody says it's my wealth. It's Allah's wealth, amanat in your hand, it's not yours. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. We are mustakhlaf. Allah made us a khalifa, and it's an amanat in our hand. It's not ours. This is the way of munafiq thinking. If somebody says, my wealth, I am free to do whatever I choose to decide about my wealth. No. If you think like this, then you are yet to learn what the ABC of Iman and faith is. Because that's what Iman thinks. That's what the munafiqeen used to say in the time of Rasulullah, that that's our wealth. Why should we spend our wealth on the poor people? It's my money. So Islam is here to negate this kind of munafiq style thinking. So it's an amanat of Allah given to us. So whosoever misuses the money, or spoils the money, or wastes his money, then this kind of behavior is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kathratu su'al, and a lot of questions. You find some people, they always ask the same question. Like I go to different cities, I find there are some people who always ask the same question. And there are some people who always ask the same question from every scholar. Some people are not after learning, they want their kind of answer. Unless their kind of answer is given, they will continue to ask the same question. So basically, they don't want to learn. All they want is to hear their kind of response. Or some people want to show their own knowledge to others that, well, we know so much. So basically, talking a lot is another sign that a person is less active. Because those who talk a lot work less. Those who work more, talk less. Al-mu'minu qaleelul kalam kaseerul amal. Mu'min is qaleelul kalam. He talks less, kaseerul amal. He works a lot. Wal-munafiqu kaseerul kalam qaleelul amal. A munafiq person talks a lot and works less. So, Islam does not like us to waste our time in any useless talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and the right of Quran. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واحذر الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيد الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى فعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واتباعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه.